Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground, so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now today, it's my pleasure to welcome Transformational Life Coach Amy McKay. She is a Transformational Life Coach that focuses on wellness and relationships. After spending nearly a decade ill, she healed herself through natural methods. Through that experience, Amy rediscovered a passion for helping others. She holds numerous certifications related to holistic healing, including Certified Personal Trainer, Silva, Ultra Silva, Silva Intuition Graduate, and we'll be talking about that, as well as a variety of energetic healing modalities. Amy believes that when you discover your own truth and align what you think, speak, and do with your values, you live a confident, successful, and joyful life. She believes that relationships are at the heart of our daily lives and that they show us what we need to be happy and to heal. To learn more about Amy's story, view her credentials and media experiences, and set up a free phone discovery session, visit her website at amymckay.com, and that is AmyMccae.com, AmyMckay.com. And so let me welcome Amy. Amy, once again, how are you today?
I'm good, David. Thanks for having me. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
You're welcome. I wondered if we could start the show off talking a little bit about your personal journey and how you came to heal yourself. And feel free to start wherever feels comfortable for you. And then we'll go from there.
Okay, David, thanks. I spent about 10 years, well, I've always wanted to be a doctor, I guess. I had a passion for healing, and then my mother died when I was 20, and I lost that desire. And then I ended up spending the next 10 years ill with crazy things that doctors really discounted. And then, fortunately, I was really, really sick one day and unable to take care of my one-year-old new baby. So I called my sister and just decided to go start looking in places I hadn't looked. And I discovered my own healing all on my own through really basic things such as fitness, nutrition, and meditation. Those are three things. And that journey led me to energetic healing and to spirituality after healing. And then my passion for relationships it's just through life experiences. I actually tried to divorce the same man twice, and then the third time was finally a charm, and I am divorced. But that experience led me to believe a lot of different things about myself and about relationships and about healing. And I'm blessed now that I'm healthy and in a wonderful relationship. So the journey was it was pretty rocky, but it led me to places that I didn't know existed. So it's been beautiful, beautiful.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell me what you mean by energetic healing.
Well, I believe in quantum physics and that everything has a vibration, the string theory, and that everything has a vibrational frequency, and that that includes our body. So our aura, a lot of people know what an aura is basically all the things that have occurred or things you've thought or felt, or all those things that are in your energetic body, not just your physical body. And I believe that they tend to be there before they resonate in your physical body. So energetic healing means that you alter those things that are in your aura so that you have physical and emotional healing. And it's based off, well, most of it's based off quantum physics, that it's possible, and that the power, and that your thought resonates as a vibrational frequency as well. So I, meditation is first and foremost probably my favorite form of energetic type of healing, because just the absence of thought and creating that space is healing in and of itself. And so that was probably my first introduction to that. And then Reiki is a very common, although I hold a lot of different certificates for other things, but it's an example of how having an intention and following a set pattern or following your intuition can alter the physical body as well as emotional body, allowing, it basically just allows for happier and healthier living, which is what we all want.
Well, I think that's what we all want. However, a lot of us don't seem to have a clue.
Nope.
Let's start off talking about the power of thoughts and what we can do to train ourselves so that we can direct them in a positive direction and raise our level of vibration.
I think that positive thinking requires being aware. So I always think that suggests that people begin meditating today. It can be as basic as, like, for example, staring into a candle is a really basic way. If you light a candle and try to keep your eyes open, it's a really good way for just to start introducing your mind, your brain, to being trained to being quiet for a few minutes. Even just starting there, you can do mantras. I mean, there are thousands of different ways to meditate, just focusing on your breath. Do something so that you learn to quiet your thoughts, because then you can become aware of all the other intuitive thoughts that might be there or be guided in a different way. That's really important. And your brain is so incredibly powerful. The power of suggestion is huge. However, I don't think that just saying a mantra over and over again gets it. The power comes when you have an awareness of what you're thinking, of how you're reacting and responding, and when you can consciously make a choice to change, you know, how you're reacting or responding to a person or a situation. That's empowering. You know, your mind needs to be able to be aware of what's even going on.
Well, how can we practice awareness when we're not meditating?
Well, I believe that you have a greater awareness throughout the day. I always say it's like going to the gym. You don't walk out of the gym. You have physiological changes, but you don't walk out of the gym the same way. Like meditating, you'll be done meditating, but you'll have that awareness throughout the day. Changes will be happening. So that's the first step. And then the second step is to really, like, just stop in the middle of something. I just wrote about attitude today in my blog, and it just really your ability to choose, you know, you have the ability to choose. If you're in a situation and you can, I firmly believe that there is a thought that comes first. You know, you think about being in a car accident and how your heart rate will suddenly go up when you have to slam on your brakes. You initially saw something occur, so there was a thought in your mind that said, hey, something's going on here, and your body physiologically changed. You know, your heart started racing or whatever. And the same thing happens when dealing with people. If you're paying attention, if you're in a situation that's uncomfortable and you're paying attention, you'll have a physiological change. And that's a sign for you to say, hey, wait a minute, I need to choose to think something else and do something different. My body's saying this isn't right.
So really it boils down to a matter of choice, that we have a choice to change our experience and our thinking each step of the way.
Yep, we have a choice. I had read a long time ago some psychology stuff, and that 80% of the time we're reacting to something from our past. It's not even the current situation. So if we can be aware of our past, you know, and be like, hey, this person isn't really the problem. The problem is I have these feelings from the past. And that acknowledgement, it just kind of takes the edge off of those situations. You can kind of almost laugh about it then.
Uh-huh. Well, that can be a challenge, can it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So, you know, the other person is actually triggering something from our past that may need healing.
Absolutely. And it's a sign. And instead of passing judgment on it or taking it out on that person, you'll have an awareness that says, you know, that's something I need to look at and take a look at it. And then you can choose differently. Once you've seen it and acknowledge it, I think the next time it's a situation you're in, you don't even go through that process. You just choose differently automatically.
Well, it takes a lot of practice, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, practice. You know, yeah, it's just practice. We're not here to be perfect, I don't think. So.
Well, you know, one of my favorite spiritual authors is Anthony DeMello, who talks a lot about detachment. And that is the tool to living a spiritual life, as I believe, instead of reacting. What do you think
Absolutely.
About that?
Yeah. I think that's absolutely, it's just, that's one of those things that's really hard. You know, I joke that I'm a self-proclaimed perfectionist type A personality. However, that doesn't always serve me well at all. So I think it's really important to maybe have some ideas that sound good, but be willing, because sometimes I think that it can be even greater than what we think it's going to be. If we try to control it and want everything to have this specific outcome, we ruin the fun.
Well, you know, control is an interesting word because a lot of people don't realize that they can take charge of their lives and think of control as a dirty word. What would you say about that?
I would say that I think that there's a balance there. You obviously want to have some structure and some intention. I think that's probably the powerful words there are intention and being mindful, but being open to possibilities. When you walk around, I think that we set ourselves up for failure if we think it has to be a specific way. If we can be open to possibilities, then it's not failure at all. And we can perceive ourselves as successful no matter what that looks like.
Well, that raises a couple of interesting things. One is that we can't control anything other than our own experience with regard to a given situation. In other words, we can't control other people or things. So we have to make the choice in how we're going to act after we encounter a certain situation. And I lost the thread on what else I was going to comment on that you just said.
Well, I just think that... I don't know where we were going with that either. I think that we're very powerful people and that if we stay focused on our intentions and are mindful of, you know, like how I say, be mindful of what you think, speak, and do, that I don't think we go wrong then. If you know who you are and you do, you know, if you act in line with your core values and the things that are most important to you, if you think, act, and speak in line with those, then we're not. There's not even an issue of being attached to anything. You know that you've gone through the day and done what you could in order to do good and to, you know, be helpful or whatever and forgive yourself for whatever you haven't done perfectly because that's just part of the journey.
I know what I was going to say. It was the concept of failure. And a lot of people beat themselves up when they think they've done something quote-unquote wrong or have made a mistake where they come to see themselves as a failure. And really, it's just an opportunity to learn a lesson and to move in a different direction, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. You know, you can perceive it, you can choose your perception. And I think you take those, I try to categorize everything as an experience as opposed to a failure or a success. It's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it takes some healing and some time before it's easier to say, okay, kind of like my three times before I got divorced. It took a long time to be okay with that and to say that that was part of a process that led me to something better. It seemed kind of messy in the midst of it, and it was difficult not to see it as being a failure. But in the end, it wasn't. I was not me and got to be me and in so many different ways. So it's a good example of an ugly situation that you want to control, that you have an attachment to an outcome, that the outcome and attachment, when you let go of that, becomes something so much greater.
Well, now that stirs some more questions. Attachment to an outcome, that is something that a lot of people get hooked on, and then they wonder why they can't manifest something What would you say about that?
You know, even like my Silva training teaches you when you go to do goal setting type of stuff or you have any type of visualization training, we always say, you know, have an idea, get all the thoughts and feelings and images and things that you want with that, but then to say, or even better to it, because maybe you've left out something, you know, or even better.
I like that.
Yep. That just makes it so it's not tied to that.
Well, you know, for however people perceive God or a higher power, we tend to forget that anything is possible and that a lot of times we are limiting ourselves if we do attach to a certain outcome, and that, you know, the benevolent power of the universe can manifest whatever serves our highest good.
Right, yep, and it might be a lot better. We just might be leaving something out. So I think that it's a good idea to be, or better. And you know that saying, careful what you wish for. So sometimes that's a real kick in the rear. You know, sometimes you get exactly what you wished for, and it's not what you thought. So to have an idea and be like, okay, I'll take that or better, and let it just be that. I had a hypnotherapist tell me to imagine, you know, that the end result is, I love the ocean, so he'd say, imagine that the end result of what you want is on the beach and that you're surfing or whatever in the ocean, and you have to ride the waves, and they're going to go up and down, and you're going to go left, you're going to go right, and you may fall down or whatever it is, but keep your eye on, you know, where you want to be, and you're going to get there. So just enjoy that, you know, riding the waves, just ride the waves till you get to the shore, which is a beautiful analogy. It's really very simple, and that's kind of the way life is.
Yeah, I had a friend that used to talk about surfing, and it always a wonderful metaphor. Excuse my little dog here. I'm having to babysit her because there's going on elsewhere in the house. So we had talked a little bit about Silva beforehand. I wonder, for those that have no idea what that is, if you could explain that.
Sure. The Silva Life System is basically a meditative self-hypnosis type of program created by a man by the name of Jose Silva. He happened to understand that we were our electrical and that our brains were very powerful. He basically combined brain function, the idea of using both your left and right hemisphere at the same time, with spirituality and quantum physics to design a program that teaches you how to meditate, lower your brain frequency so you can access your creative and intuitive side and also alter your physical reality. It's a beautiful program, and I didn't realize till recently how connected it was to shamanism. It just kind of put a scientific spin on it and changed some things. So I would keep them separate, but very, very similar into the workings of what actually takes place. So I love the Silva method. I did the basic, the healing one, and the intuitive one, but I find them, you know, sometimes people struggle with metaphysics and trying to connect the science part of it, trying to make it seem real. And I think the Silva method really does a good job of making spirituality and metaphysics science-based instead of, you know, I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, so when you talk about metaphysical things, people think it's very closed-minded here, so it's kind of voodoo around, depending on, I mean, there's enough people here to have a little bit of a community, but not that much. So to be able to have some science back to it is always nice, and the Silva method pretty much so allows for, you know, the science back. The shamanism puts the magic back in to all of it, so it's beautiful. All of them are really beautiful programs to learn and study and, you know, accelerate your own personal growth.
Wonderful. Well, just to let you know, we do have a caller on the line, and caller, we will get to you, but we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of relationships with ourselves and others and how that can help with our own personal healing. So please be patient. We do want to talk to you. So let's talk about relationships and how they can help us with our healing.
I think that relationships are an opportunity for you to look at yourself. It's been my experience, like the crazy ex-husband, but there were, and siblings, you know, family, spouses, children, and siblings have, or parents have, are really, really good teachers in who you are and what you need to do. They always seem to represent something that you either are scared of, that is an aspect of you that you, or that you're passing judgment on, or something within you need to pay attention. So if we can take the time to, instead of judging that person or disliking that person or fighting with them, if we can just take a moment to be like, you know, and ask ourselves, what's going on within me that I react to this person this way? Is there something that I can look at? Is there something that I need to heal? That empowers us to not judge that person and not judge ourselves over it either. I think sometimes we have an easier time not judging other people and then judging ourselves for reacting a certain way or wishing that we hadn't. So it gives us an opportunity to look at other people and then just look at ourselves.
Well, I think an important part of that is that we tend to have emotional feelings when we encounter something with another person that's troubling. And that's something that we need to take a look at and decide how we're going to deal with that in regard to that particular situation that we're experiencing with another. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure. I think it's the emotion that causes us, I always say reacting versus responding, you know, it's the emotion that causes you to react. I don't think there's anything wrong with having an emotion. It's just we can find just a moment in the immediate situation to take us back and to choose differently. Even if it is, even if you just say to a person in a sticky situation, I'm not in a position to answer you mindfully. I'll get back to you. I think that's always really powerful. I'm not in a position to answer this. If you're thinking you're not going to react, if you're going to react in an emotionally charged way, odds are it's not going to be the most thoughtful or the most intuitive, which is what we'd probably want. There's some combination of a mindful, intuitive response instead of some emotionally charged reaction because of emotion. Not to deny the emotion, though. I mean, you got to have it. It's there. Acknowledge it.
Right. It's part of the human experience.
Right.
What if we're feeling violated by another person? What's the best way to deal with that or to deal with anger in a constructive manner?
Again, I'm all for the timeout, and I usually will write something and then be able to speak it to a person at a later time. I require a timeout, even if it's 30 seconds or a bathroom break or whatever it is, something, go get a drink of water, something that allows me to put my thoughts together, and I do best to write them first, before I go and verbalize something. I'm able to get out a level of frustration by writing, and then I'm able to articulate my thoughts better and have a plan of thought. If I am upset about something or scared about something, my thoughts tend to be a little bit random. So, but you should have every right, if you feel violated, I mean, in an immediate situation, to say no and stop, I'm not going to do this right now, and walk away.
Well, I was looking at your website, and you talk about 5 practices for creating authentic relationships, and that might be a good place to continue on our discussion with relationships. Would you care to address that?
Oh, sure. There are 5 practices that I use for relationships and for healing in general. They are awareness, acceptance, attitude, which is your perception, action, which is what you're going to do, and then acknowledgement, which is gratitude. So awareness is being aware of the people, places, and events, being aware of who you are, and being able to make choices based off who you are that allow you to be confident, be empowered, be successful, be healthy, find love, all of those things. That's what awareness is. And it comes first by knowing who you are and what you want and what you're willing to do about it, obviously. Acceptance, now here's the tough one. You know, this is the one for people like myself who've been perfectionists, I don't tend to surrender well. So acceptance is about surrender and about forgiveness and about loving yourself, accepting yourself. You know, we walk around just busy, not really taking care of ourselves. So acceptance is, the hippie in me always says it's for yourself, is really, really important. Action is doing, you know, what are you going to do? Did I skip attitude? Attitude is just perception. So, and then acknowledgement is gratitude, being thankful and practicing that in your daily life, being mindful in your daily life. I often give out these, do you know who Rudolf Steiner was? He's just a brilliant man who created all kinds of things. And oh, good stuff. Well, he did some odd things too, but he was a very brilliant man who has these spiritual practices. Basically, there's practices of the soul. So each day of the week, an example of one of the things he did was each day of the week, you would have, I think, Monday's right word. So the intention and mindful practice of the day is, how am I thinking, speaking today, if it's the right word? What am I speaking today? How are other people speaking to me? So it brings into awareness what's really going on in your mind with the people that you're doing. And it's an intention for each day. And it allows you, I mean, you live very gratefully and mindfully when you have a, I used to do that with my kids even. So that's a good example of what those five spiritual practices are. I think we can use them for anything.
Well, I think they're wonderful.
Attitude. Yeah, they're good stuff.
Yeah, they're wonderful practices, and they do take a lot of practice too, especially especially the acceptance piece. I like one of the sayings in 12-step programs is acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today. But I prefer reframing that as acceptance is the answer to all my solutions today. When I view something as a problem, I tend to stay stuck. And, you know, when I think outside the box and recognize there is a solution to every problem and usually more than one, and just view whatever, instead of looking at a problem as a problem, look at it as an opportunity. And
there you go, opportunity.
Yeah, live in the solution. Let's talk a little bit about surrender. You mentioned you had a difficult time with that, and I do too. What would you say would be some of the steps to surrendering?
Well, I think surrender is the biggest practice. Again, I do things in line with like the new moon and the full moon sometimes. So the full moon I find to be a good time for forgiveness. So a big example of something I do for forgiveness work, because you have to let go of something sometimes in surrender, is to write down or meditate on, and I'll do both depending. I have meditated on, like I'll write down an experience that I want to surrender whatever's going on with that to have no longer have an attachment to it. So I'll write about an experience that's bothering me, the emotions that I have connected to it, the people that I have connected to it. Then I will go and meditate on it and on those people, and I'll say whatever it is I need to say in my mind to those people, and then I will go burn everything that I wrote. I'm very big into symbolism and rituals. I think they just allow for freedom. I feel free. So it kind of, and then I use nature, like the full moon, to hopefully enhance that. So that's an example of what I do. And it shifts energy. So something changes there. I always feel better.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful, because a lot of times we think that we need to confront people. And sometimes if we can do that at a metaphysical level, I mean, we need to pick and choose our battles. And for some people, almost everything they perceive is a battle. And then they get enmeshed in a lot of negativity. And the idea is to lead a joyful life and to be free of that. So I love some of your suggestions. I think they're wonderful.
I think it's good to have an idea of what you need and what realistic expectations you have. You know, if you're going to surrender to a surrender in regards to a person, place, event, or whatever, what expectations do you have? I spent a lot of time thinking that I should have apologies for this or things like that, and that's not always going to be the case. You're not always going to get what you want. So, do you know there was a quote on Facebook that said, being angry is like swallowing poison and expecting the other person to die. So if you're walking around, you know, if you're walking around angry at somebody, not surrendering to an event or whatever, or if you're walking around trying to control people or control situations, it's very stressful. It's not healthy, you know.
Well, the only person you really end up hurting is yourself.
Exactly. You're the only one that suffers when you don't learn to just kind of roll with the flow of things.
Of course, if you go around spewing anger, you can create negative realities for other people, because then they have to come to detach from whatever it is that you're doing at them.
Right. I think that's why we have to walk around centered. You know, shamanism teaches you to try to focus on your heart and see that light within, and to try to come from that space as often as possible. So you don't always want to you don't want to discount all of the negativity that goes on, but if you can try to stay focused in your heart, you're going to be focused, you know, you're going to come from coming from a space of peace and joy and love, or some, you know, some things that are a little bit higher vibrational frequency.
Well, you know, you talked about gratitude, and I find that counting my blessings and being grateful for everything that comes my way, whether or not I've perceived it to be negative in my past, to recognize that it's brought me to my today, and that as I'm healing, it's all served a greater purpose, because there have been lessons to be learned, that just that feeling of gratitude raises my level of vibration right there.
Yep, absolutely. I just posted a gratitude post today, and it's let me see here. It's from G.K. Chesterton. It said, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder.
Well, I'm looking at the switchboard and wondering what's going on, folks. We've had three callers, and some of them have hung on the line, and they've all hung up. So if anybody would like to speak with Amy, please press 1, and I will give you an opportunity to do that as soon as you do so. But perhaps they're just, you know, enjoying and getting what they need and then moving on. You never know.
Nope.
So I found that a little distracting. Getting back to surrender. I've heard it said, also I believe Anthony DeMello said this, that to be human or to be alive is to be addicted. And I think, again, that has a lot to do with the attachments that we form. And addiction can manifest in so many different ways. I mean, we automatically tend to think of things like drug addiction and alcoholism. But, you know, anything taken to an extreme in our life becomes an addiction or compulsive behavior. And those are things that people seem to have a very difficult time overcoming and surrendering to freedom. So I wondered if we could speak a little bit about that at this point in time.
Oh, sure. I'd love to. I read somewhere, and I found this to be absolutely beautiful, that, and I completely agree with you, you know, that we unfortunately tend to see substance abuse as standing out in addiction, and there's so many other, especially social media even right now. I think people are addicted to their cell phones and all kinds of things. So it comes many ways, but I read it, addiction, someone quoted it as being a lack of connection, meaning a lack of connection to spirit, a lack of connection to yourself. And I thought, that is absolutely the most beautiful, perfect definition of addiction, because addiction has this tendency to have this feel like this lower vibration. But when you look at it, is we're just disconnected from that of what we truly are. It's totally different. The perception is completely different. And if that is what it is, I had addiction issues in my past, and I've had alleged healthy ones as, you know, as an older adult with either exercise or nutrition. It's very easy to become addicted or want to control something. But all along, I look back, and if you can go back to that feeling of lack of connection and find ways to reconnect, you can do that. You know, sitting in nature reconnects me. Meditating reconnects me. Sitting down just playing, I have a 4-year-old and a 13-year-old, and the 4-year-old is still very magical. And there are so many ways to reconnect that don't have to be this religious, committed sort of thing. Just reconnect to who you are and to nature and to all the beauty of things. And if we start doing that more often, I think that there's less potential for addiction.
Well, I think that some of the things that you mentioned are very useful things for people who don't believe in a higher power to connect to. I believe that it's so important to get outside of ourselves if we are going to experience freedom and surrender to something greater than ourselves. What do you think about that?
Yep, I agree. You have to, and I don't, I believe in God or the source of energy or whatever, and to be able to find some way, I believe that there's a silver thread that connects all of us. So when we can connect, we just are just in a better place.
Well, not to pick on religion, but that can become another addiction.
It can be. It's, and you know what? It comes with a lot of attachment and judgment. And that's actually why I don't practice a specific one, is because I really felt like, I just really felt like, and I explored everything that I could possibly explore, and I have respect and honor all paths to God is the choice I've opted to have now, you know, and that I have to connect, and I have to do it in a variety of different ways, because not one way serves me all of the time.
Well, as I say in the beginning of my show, or as the announcer says, based on my own philosophy, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and I sum that up at the end by saying who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be, which means to surrender. And so I think it's, to me, I don't practice a traditional religion, although I go to church, but I see myself more aligned with my spirituality rather than any religious practice. And I also once heard it said many decades ago when I first entered 12-step meeting rooms that if the God or higher power that you've conceived of in your past is not working for you or not making you feel loved, to reinvent it. What do you think about that?
I agree. It's unfortunate that religion has become, you know, if you look back, it wasn't exactly meant to be that way. Religion became very controlling, and people feel guilty or feel like they have sinned or done whatever, and they're going to be punished for that. I don't know anyone that hasn't failed. So if you think that somehow you're going to be punished by a God for that, I don't believe that. I think we're here to have experiences, and it's not a pass or fail, and that there's, it's unfortunate that we come up with an image of God that is this controlling, ruling power that's going to make us miserable if we don't follow whatever rules are set aside. And I think that you just choose something differently. You come up with an idea. To me, God should be about love and about peace and surrender and all of those beautiful spiritual practices. That's spirituality, and that God, in my mind, should be the same way.
Well, I don't think until somebody comes to that conclusion that they can truly love themselves, because I think they tend to feel that they're going to continue to be judged, and in so doing, they're judging themselves each step of the way. And I also heard that the Aramaic definition of sin was simply an error in thought or judgment. And that makes it seem so less toxic than my original understanding of what the word sin was. I always thought it was like a black mark, and that, you know, if I was not released from it at some level, I was going to be damned eternally.
Right, exactly. And somehow it was going, it just, the ideas that occur in religion and my understanding didn't make sense to me. So I couldn't make sense out of them, so I looked to other places. So I think everybody who is questioning that, or if you're fearful of God, then maybe you should explore other possibilities to what that looks like.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of respect for religion, and I don't mean to put it down, but I did want to delve into that a little bit, because a lot of people do align themselves with different religions, and all I'm trying to do on this show is to open up people's minds to greater
possibilities
that can lead to their healing and that can lead to self-love and to letting go of judgment of self and others.
Yeah, religion serves a purpose, so I don't have any regrets. I just didn't feel like it's serving. Well, and I wouldn't say I don't use it. I still study different things here and there. So that's, again, an opportunity for an experience to see where it leads me, and like anybody else. I think it's important to always just explore possibilities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just backing up a little bit to relationships, I want to have you comment on this statement that's in your bio, and that is that you believe that relationships are at the heart of our daily lives and that they show us what we need to be happy and to heal. If we could explore that a little bit more.
Sure. I think that, you know, we talk a little bit about relationships being a reflection, everything. And, you know, I always joke that the monk sitting on the top of the mountain meditating all day has it easy. It's, you know, us walking around having to deal with people that are the challenges, you know. It's hard. You know?
Yeah.
It's a totally different deal. I could sit around in the nature and meditate and be full of peace and love. It's walking around dealing with people that's the challenge, you know, the problem. It's not really a problem, but, you know, that's what makes it difficult. If you sit around if you sit around doing whatever, then you don't have any idea. So paying attention to people around you will allow you a huge opportunity to explore yourself, really. If you can look at everybody as an opportunity of to dig deeper into who you are. They are, and they're what make them. Relationships are also what makes everything more beautiful. I mean, it would be lonely to spend entire days and nights and weeks all by yourself. So we have to look at relationships as not only being our challenges, but they also teach us all the good things about us. And loving ourselves allows us to have loving relationships.
Well, I love the way you keep the focus on those good things about ourselves. And, of course, we live in a dualistic world where we tend to judge things as good or bad, but I tend to believe that it's all for the greater good and that we need to practice gentleness and lack of judgment with ourselves, but that it's important to take a look at the whole realm of our human experience and to recognize that we have light and darkness within us. It's part of the duality of this life. It's part of the human experience. And so as I've come to see for myself in becoming aware of who I've been and who I want to be, I've had to look at the shadow side of myself and those things that haven't been particularly pretty. What would you have to say about that?
I would say that part always stinks, but it's obviously just as important. It is probably more so important because I don't think, you know, you have to have the dark and the light, both. So by looking at the dark parts, we see the good parts. Okay, at the dark times, all the good stuff comes, you know. You have to be able to shine the light on the dark. And duality has forever challenged me. But in this dimension of reality, that's what it is. So you can fight it or you can surrender and just kind of say, okay, I accept that it's a third and fourth dimensional reality and duality is an aspect.
Yes. Well, that brings us right back to acceptance. And so I think the bottom line is that we need to accept that we are human and that we are not perfect, and that that's okay. That's just part of the human experience. Our souls are perfect, I believe. And if we live in that soul space, then we're headed towards the perfection that we're ultimately meant to be.
Absolutely. We're just here for our human experience. And, you know, sometimes I joke about it that we really should quit taking it so seriously and just have a good time. I saw this plaque that I intend to arrive at my grave sliding feet first with a bottle of wine in one hand and a bar of chocolate in the other, saying, whoa, what a hell of a ride. So maybe that's, you know, kind of the way we should view life. Let's have a good time and enjoy it. Can view it as a playground and an opportunity to have some fun and learn, because at the end of, you know, at the end of the day, you're still just a spirit, a perfect spirit, and that we're just cohabitating among a bunch of perfect spirits that are living a human experience temporarily.
Well, more and more people are coming to believe in reincarnation. And that's something that I came to believe in many years ago after not believing in it. And I don't know what your particular beliefs are about that, but if you believe in it, there's some questions I have for you.
I do absolutely believe in it. I've had other lifetime experiences and also did several past life regressions with two different hypnotherapists to learn more, because I was having other experiences in this world. About those.
Well, I've heard it said that our DNA is affected not only by whatever happens to us in this life, but by past lives. And, you know, we've talked earlier about looking at the past, and I think we were framing that in terms of this life. But what do you think has been the benefit of regression for you in terms of discharging any possible negativity from past lives? And would you encourage other people to do that?
Sure, I would encourage anyone that has an interest in it, just make sure to have a proper hypnotherapist that's been specially trained, not just in hypnotherapy, but in regression work. I had some experiences. I went to meditate one time, and I felt like something was around my neck, so I went into the mirror to look, and there wasn't anything around my neck, but then I had all these images of another lifetime in Ireland where my current, well, my husband, who the man I was married to, I was also in that lifetime with, of him trying to strangle me and throw me over a balcony. So I did have regression work and learn, and we had a whole lot of overlapping type of experiences the entire year before that. But I did learn the regression work that we did have another lifetime. I have thyroid issues and throat issues and stuff in this lifetime, so I wonder if that didn't carry over. And he had infidelity issues in this lifetime, and I had them in that lifetime. So it was just really a lot of interesting things that go on in other lifetimes that you have in this one. So they kind of allow you to see how to see things from a variety of different perspectives. So beautiful stuff. I mean, and it all looks really traumatic, but it seemed like it at the time, but it wasn't. It was absolutely fascinating.
Well, you know, it all adds up to, no matter how we look at it, on the totality of our lives or whether we perceive it as just this life, that there is a law of cause and effect in the universe, and what goes around comes around. And that, to me, means it's so important to remain true to oneself in order to continue on a positive path.
Yep, I would agree. That situation is one in particular that I really struggled with. So it's nice to have some resolve with it now. I don't know if time to some degree kind of changes that, time in this lifetime. I don't know, you know, I had other lifetimes too, one in which I was a shaman in Egypt, and I totally relate to that. It's just amazing, the overlaps that you find in other lifetimes and connections and the things that you do in this one and other ones are I think there's something to that. And not to be attached to those either, you know.
Well, one of the things you've discovered in this lifetime is a passion for helping others. What would you say to other people in terms of service and getting outside of themselves and how important it can be to be of service to other people?
I think that's one of the most important things. You know, in giving, you receive. And I even do energetic healing type of work, and I always feel like I always feel so good afterwards. And I don't claim to be a healer or whatever. I know some techniques, and I know how to be mindful and present and to set intentions for someone's greater good. And I always feel better after I've spent time with a client. And to volunteer your help, I even, my 13-year-old is even going to volunteer. I'm teaching my children to do that sort of thing. So I just think that being, that's what we're here to do. We're here to find what we're good at and to help others with what we're good at. Whatever
well,
that looks like.
What would be your suggestion on finding a way to be what we're good at if people don't seem to have a clue?
Determine your core values. Actually, if anyone emails me, I'll send them a link. I don't have it sitting in front of me. I always
What's your email address?
Values. It's creativewellness@cox.net. And I'll send a link to it. It's called a core values worksheet. It has over 400 descriptive words on it. And if you could narrow it down to 5, it's going to give you a really clear picture of some of your most important characteristics. So you'll know, like, health and healing is on mine. So I know that if I can volunteer in that aspect, even we donate certain things to charities that suit those things, or I'll volunteer for charities that suit those core values that I have, the things that are personal to me. It's just what I try to do, or find a group to participate in that does those things.
Well, let's talk about the word passion and the importance of that in terms of shaping our reality for a more positive experience.
I think that anytime you know who you are and you do what you love, you're setting a vibrational frequency and a tone that just allows for it's a good space for anyone.
I totally agree. I often think of the words that Joseph Campbell said, and that is to follow your bliss. It's taken me a long time, speaking of my own experience, to discover what my passions are. And now that I have done that, I'm leading a life that is beyond my wildest dreams. And I believe that everybody can do that. But a lot of people seem to get locked into dead-end jobs, the mode of surviving, and to not even realize that they can live a life beyond their wildest dreams.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think sometimes we get caught up in, and I did this too in some ways as well, you know, we get caught up in an idea that our lives are supposed to be, it's traditional that, say, you would go to college, get married, buy a house, have babies, and you go to work for the same employer so that you have your retirement and work your job, and both men and women both work, and kids are in how many different activities, and people just do that daily crap all day long. And instead of thinking that there's even a possibility of it being different, they don't. They just do it because they're stuck in a, you know, a very rigid schedule, a job that only allows for so much growth and children that take time. And I think that we forget that there's an opportunity in there that you don't have to do that, that it can be different.
Well, when you do that, in a sense, you cast yourself in a victim role, don't you?
Oh, of course. Yeah, most definitely.
What
and
is
we know
the key
that's
to...
not very serving.
No. So what is the key to freedom? I'm sure you've already discussed.
Yeah. I just think that you have to make a choice. I see people stuck. I get a lot of, and I don't do career coaching, but I get people, I get clients that want to change careers because they think that that I've done something inspiring by saying, hey, I'm going to do what I love. So I get people that want to change careers to do what they love. And the thing is, sometimes you don't have to leave your career entirely. You don't have to go be self-employed and be a life coach or speaker or author or whatever. You don't have to do that. I've worked with someone who worked in the hotel industry, and she wanted to do more of what she loved, so we talked about finding ways to be more creative or this or that. She ended up switching jobs within the company and very, very happy because now she had a job that allowed her to do a little bit more creative stuff. But it was a process. We started with her taking an art class so that she got to get that in there, and then she worked up into being able to find a position, which didn't make for a drastic change but made enough that she's like, oh, now I'm back to loving going to work. So there's lots of opportunities. You just have to be willing to look at your possibilities.
And sometimes it's just a matter of reframing your attitude.
Heck yeah. That power of perception is huge. You know, optical illusions are a perfect example. Think about it. You might be looking at an optical illusion and you see it one way, and then all of a sudden there's two different images. So there's always more than one way to look at something. And you got a choice then. You can go, well, I can see it this way, I can see it that way. Life's events are the same thing. You can see it one way or you can choose to see it a different way.
Well, it's like that old analogy, is the glass half empty or half full. And
yep.
Some people would say that to say it's half full is being an optimist. But again, we talked about limitation earlier, and perhaps indeed the glass is overflowing, and perhaps that's even limiting. Perhaps we need to look at it as a bathtub that's overflowing. Or whatever.
Right.
The possibilities are endless, and it's up to us to continue to see those possibilities and take responsibility for our own lives as I see it.
I agree.
Well, we don't have a lot of time left. I wondered if you'd like to, and it's okay if we go a couple minutes over, I wondered if you'd like to talk a little bit about your services and your calling is to help others.
Well, I am, thank you. I am really, I love healing work and teaching. Those are my two favorite things. So I offer life coaching that basically life coaches provide resources, education. We get people from point A to point B in the least painless way and quickest way as possible. So basically people will come and have a goal, or I'll help them figure out the goal. Sometimes they don't know what it is or have a plan in mind, so it helps with that. I am very passionate about spirituality and metaphysics and natural and energetic healing, so I offer a variety of healing work as well if someone didn't want to do life coaching, and I do meditative work too. And I teach and speak, and will be starting to finally write. So I have a variety of different things, but you can view all of them on my website, which is amymccae.com. And my email is on there as well. And if you email me, I'll send you a link to Core Values. And I also offer a free 30-minute phone discovery session. So if you email me at creativewellness@cox.net, I'll be happy to do that, any of that.
Wow, that's wonderful. The electronic lady was just whispering in my ear. and I lost my thread for a moment. Well, you know, it's been a joy to have you on the show today, and I appreciate you speaking your own truth and your passion for helping others come to live in their own truth. I know what it was. You do work with people. You do work with people over the telephone, don't you?
Oh, yep, telephone or Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, or whatever way they want to. I've been doing a lot of Skype sessions just recently. But yes, anyway, they don't have to come. Actually, it's easier. I have more flexibility if they'll do hour-wise, if they'll do Skype or instead of in the office. So always available.
Okay, well, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, David, and thank you for all you do. It's great to have like-minded people and people out promoting good and things in the world. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well,
and thanks all the
listeners. Yes, thank you, and thank you for the callers. I'm sorry if You weren't able to stay on the line to speak with you, but that's okay. Once then we come to a close, now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. And Amy, I'd love to have you back on the show again later in the year.
Absolutely, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. God bless.